and we love having first-time guests. That is exactly the case. Someone who grew up in the 201 me, and I see the 617, and I think, New York versus Boston. Our guest, sports journalist, sports anchor for KEZI-TV here in Eugene, grew up outside Beantown. She's a Rhode Island Ram. On Twitter, use at Kate Rogerson TV. Kate, great having you on. How's life treating you this holiday season?
Steve, thank you for having me. You know I love getting that Boston-New York rivalry going. It's nice to have it on the West Coast because some people don't really understand how deep it gets, you know? But holiday season, I can't believe it's finally here. Eugene is madness. Costco is insane. So if anyone is listening, I would avoid Costco at all costs.
Yeah, that's not good for your mental health this time of year in the midst of a pandemic. You know, Kate, in your bio, you mentioned you got to cover the World Series at Fenway 3 years ago. There were two home games. They would eventually beat the Dodgers in five. But from your angle that year, you know, they'd beaten the hated Yankees. Then they beat the soon-to-be-hated-by-everybody Astros. What do you remember about getting to cover an event of that magnitude as a reporter, being a fan who grew up there?
I was so fortunate in my time back home working as an intern both in Boston and Providence to get to go to so many of those big caliber games. And it was really interesting being a fan because I'm like, oh my gosh, I've been watching these teams since I was little. I'm in their locker rooms. I'm walking the halls. It was so interesting. And I think from a media perspective, you really learn how much these players and teams love the city and how much fans depend on games. You know, during the pandemic when, you know, everything got taken away from us, everyone learned to appreciate sports a little bit more and how it's kind of this rallying cry, or I guess just this one thing everyone has in common that doesn't matter where you're from, your background, what you believe, what your gender is. So that was really cool being an intern, getting to cover the World Series and just standing on Fenway Park looking at the Green Monster. One of the coolest experiences I've ever had and something I will always cherish.
Sounds awesome. So 31 years ago, I moved to Eugene from Philadelphia, sight unseen, for the chance to work in radio. You relocated across the country. What could you tell us about hearing about the KEZI opportunity? Had you ever been to Eugene and the process that made you decide, sure, Eugene, Oregon, count me in?
Well, just like you, I was applying to jobs, and I got an offer and came here sight unseen, came in on the plane, coming over Eugene, and all I see are, like, hills and trees and lots of farms, and I look at my dad, and I go, oh, no. But being on the other side of the country has been so amazing. I graduated in 2020, so I was a part of that senior class that your senior year got cut short, a pandemic, so as we know, life was on pause. Places were having job cuts. We're having hiring freezes. So for me, I was like, okay, I need a job. I need to get out of here. So anywhere and everywhere, I was applying from the woods of Wisconsin to the southernmost tip of Texas, all the way out here to Eugene. My goal coming out of college is I wanted to be in a place, in a market where sports really matters and where the community care so deeply about them. So when Eugene came up, KZI came up, and you cover not only the Ducks but the Beavers, two Division One schools. On top of you get a taste of the Portland pros, you get all the high school stuff. It seemed like a little bit of a perfect combination, and I'd never been this far west before, so I said, hey, why not? And here I am, what, 15-ish months later, and I have no regrets.
Talking with Kate Rogerson, KEZI. So you made the trip to Portland a week ago for basketball, Oregon BYU. You went to Salt Lake City this past Saturday. So could you confirm or deny a rumor that the University of Oregon has contacted you and said you are not allowed to go to any more events?
I can confirm that I have not been confronted. Phil Knight has not reached out to me to try to get some settlement. You know, I apologize to Duck fans. I didn't know I had this bad aura on the road, but things get better. You know, that whole 1-0 mentality, there's another game coming for each team, and hopefully things can get better.
That's hysterical. In all serious, though, logic indicated the Utah game would be tough because they're really good, and you know the place is going to be rocking with everything on the line. But in preparing for this game, Kate, any way in your mind did you see this surprising result, just an absolute top-to-bottom blowout? How shocked were you?
I knew it was going to be a good game, and I knew Utah was going to play very well. I was in Corvallis when the Beavers beat Utah, and some of the reporters are asking me, like, hey, what do you remember from that game? And I said to them, Utah's going to come out quick, they're going to be fast, and they're going to score early, and soon enough, that is what happened. They said to me, they're like, hey, Kate, you were right. I'm like, yes, I know, that's why you should listen to me. But that game against Utah, I can't say I thought anyone expected that result. Maybe Utes fans did, but anyone in the Eugene area or who follows Oregon, that was a blowout. That's the best way to say it. It was ugly. It was messy. There's not one single facet of play you can blame the Oregon loss on because, unfortunately, all three really struggled.
You know, you take part in lots of the media sessions, coaches, players. You've seen this team dig down, got out some wins, and they do know a win on Saturday, and they win the North. So you feel these coaches, these players are built to flush what happened last week and just put a much better foot forward on Saturday?
Yes, and I think because the Pac-12 North is up for grabs, and I know a huge part of that played on Friday between the Huskies and the Cougars, there's a little bit of added emotion and urgency. You know, the Ducks talk a lot about their resiliency and their culture to bounce back, and there's no question that there's a phenomenal culture within the Ducks program, but it's going to be put to the test on Saturday. I asked Travis Dye earlier at Oregon's media availability what he thought about this, and it was funny. His response was, yeah, it's a big game, but if you need the Pac-12 North being on the line to make you want to play harder and better, he goes, we don't have room for you on this team. So the Ducks understand what is at stake on top of them playing Oregon State, who's having a great season. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens because, as we know, anything is possible, not only in this rivalry series, but in the entire Pac-12.
You know, you hit me up on text with what I thought was a spot-on point. You know, in recent weeks, we see Micah Pittman transfer, Johnny Johnson, Jalen Redd out. And aside from Travis Dye, the skill players on the Ducks, it's a lot of freshmen, sophomores. You think in a game this big with everything on the line, maybe that's something that could factor in because we know they're talented, but it's young guys on a really big stage.
Yeah, today Anthony Brown was asked what he's kind of been doing with the receiver room. Has been getting more reps, obviously working with different receivers that he hasn't yet this season. He was on. He said, yeah, I've been spending a lot of time with guys like Dante Thornton and Devin McGee and Chris Hudson. I mean, obviously they get reps and they practice day by day, but these guys are freshmen, you know, like, playing in high school, being a five-star recruit, is totally different to taking a football field, not only in a rivalry showdown, but in the Pac-12 conference. You know, it's so huge, and I think Oregon's offense is going to be a big focal point of how well they can play on Saturday, following, obviously, their struggles that they faced against Utah.
And on the other side, you know, they've got a secret weapon in Jack Coletto, three quality backs, a lot of targets for Chance Nolan, including a senior in Trevon Bradford. They're not as young and raw. You think maybe a slight advantage for OSU of having guys with a little more experience?
Whenever someone asks Jonathan Smith the secret to their success this year, he always goes back to the depth and leadership on that team. And because of COVID, whether, I guess, a positive for the sports world, is it's given these guys some extra eligibility. So there's people like Jack Coletto, there's people like Trevon Bradford, Jaden Grant, Andre Hughes-Murray, across the entire roster that have been around in Corvallis maybe a couple more years than they planned because of the pandemic. Now, that has worked in Oregon State's favor as Coach Smith has revamped Oregon State football. Obviously, they are 7-4 right now on the season. And I think that's a huge factor on the offense because, yes, Chance Nolan may be in his first traditional year as a starting quarterback, but the options Oregon State has on offense is endless. Like you said, they got receivers, they have running backs, not to mention their tight ends, who are one of the best dynamic duos at the position in the conference.
You know, the last thing I want to get to is you got to brave the fog in Oregon night and covered Oregon State's soccer team last Sunday. So what could you tell me about that atmosphere, the buzz, and, of course, the performance against my boys from Queens, St. John's?
Well, Lorenz Field is an awesome game environment when it comes to soccer. It may not be the biggest stadium or bleachers, whatever you want to call it. But those stands were packed. The Beavers even have this little band playing music the entire time. People are chanting, screaming, pounding their feet on the bleachers. It was really, really cool and really creepy at the same time when the fog rolled in. I was on one corner of the field, and you could barely see the other half by the scoreboard when I was trying to shoot the highlights. I was like, well, hope nothing too major happens. You're not able to see it on camera, but it was so cool at Renz Field. Felt like that traditional November soccer environment, the playoffs. It's cold. People have their hats on, the gloves on, but it didn't impact the players whatsoever. Oregon State, number one seed in the country, and they certainly played like it. They are composed. They are comfortable. They stay calm. They don't fall under pressure. You know, they scored that first goal, and it took the ease off of them, and once they got number two, it was all over. My favorite thing about covering the Beavers is they just have fun. From when I watched them at the end of August to now, they're smiling, they're laughing, they're making jokes on the field. Midfielder, forward, defensive men, they're all-star. Sofyan Jafal even said it. He said, this is the best team he's been a part of just because of how comfortable they are with one another.
Yeah, they play with joy. Folks, she's Kate Rogerson. Terrific young sports journalist, repping the 617. You can catch her work for KEZI, well, on TV, KEZI.com. On Twitter, it's at Kate Rogerson TV. Hey, Kate, much appreciate you finding some time. Wishing you and yours a safe, happy, sane holiday. Be well, and definitely look forward to talking again down the road.
Of course, Steve. Thanks for having me. Most importantly, go Patriots.
All right. Have a good one, Kate. Awesome.